Morning. Good morning, everyone. How you all doing? Good to see you. Lots of people here this morning. Some of you I recognize, some of you I don't. If you are new here this morning, you're visiting, or you've been coming over the last few weeks, because I've been away a bit over the summer as well, you are so welcome here. Please make yourself at home here. It's great to have you. My name's Ian, one of the team here. And it is good to be back together, isn't it? It's good to be back together. We've done lots of good stuff over the summer. We've done picnics. We've done kind of our summer Sundays. Different people have gone off into to different places. But I always enjoy this part of the year where we come back together. This new term, new academic year. I hope you've had a good summer. I wonder what have you been up to? Some of you, maybe you're feeling rested and you feel as though you've had a good break. Others of you, maybe you're feeling exhausted. You've had the kids at home and you've just been praying for the day when they go back to school. Or it's just been exhausting traveling to different places. Maybe you've stayed local. Maybe you've gone further away. For me, we sort of finished when the schools broke up. We went away for a couple of weeks on a family holiday. That was just really nice to spend time together. And then we got back. We had about a day turnaround before we headed off to New Day. New Day is the youth festival with there were thousands of young people there. Some great stories to share. Just as a headline, next week we are going to be sharing stories from New Day and also a trip from some of the young adults that went out to Spain. You do not want to miss next week. There are some great stories to share. Coming back from New Day, pretty much the whole of our family and many of the others that came back from New Day as well were wiped out with sickness and COVID and kind of all kinds of other stuff that people came back with. And then once we'd recovered from that, Angela was off to Italy. So Angela's dad's Italian and her mum and dad spent some time in Italy. So she went off on her own to see her mum and dad, which I think she really enjoyed. And I was kind of in that place of spinning work and parenting the kids at home and all of that kind of stuff. So that was hard work, but good. And then I had the privilege of going off to Spain with some of the young adults, which we will share more about next week. But I did want to give you a headline video because this will tease you and give you a bit of a trailer as to what has been happening and make you want to come back and hear stories next week. So can we roll? Wow, that was an amazing, amazing time. We have lots of stories to share. Come next week and you're going to hear from some of these young people. You're going to hear some of the things that happen. I actually feel quite emotional just watching that. Some of those evenings when the Holy Spirit just came upon us, the sense of God's presence with us was tangible. And my prayer is that it doesn't stop there, but we bring it back and that goes further. And we'll be talking more about that next week. But whatever your summer's been like, some will have come back on a high. Some will have faced big challenges over the summer. Some, as I said, will feel rested. Some will be exhausted. But I have a word for all of you today, wherever you've been this summer, whatever you've been doing, however you're feeling. And we're in a series in John at the moment. We've entitled this series Friends of Jesus, because John writes from his perspective as the closest of Jesus' friends in many ways. And he speaks as a friend, but he also speaks to invite us to be friends with Jesus. And we've previously looked at John chapter 6, which is the story when Jesus goes up the mountainside and the crowds, they follow him. And suddenly Jesus says, well, how are we going to feed all these people? And he gets the child's packed lunch and he feeds. He produces this miracle of abundance and provision where food is provided and everyone is fed. There's this mountaintop moment where everyone is saying, God is good. God is the provider. God is the God of abundance. And the thing about mountaintop moments is that they can't last forever. And so there was this moment when they were up and Jesus was providing this food, but it can't last forever. And some of you this summer, you've had mountaintop moments, but you need to know those mountaintop moments don't last forever. We have to come back down the mountain and we have to come back into everyday life where there are challenges, where we go to work, where we go to school and college, where we have sickness, where we, you know, there's different things in our lives. And what we see in this story, actually, is that Jesus himself had a healthy pattern of ministry. Just after he had produced this miracle, he performed this miracle, he met the people's needs. He knew the importance of withdrawing, him and his disciples. And so they withdrew. They came away. And he took himself away into the Father's presence to abide with God. Jesus would always minister to people out of a place of rest. And so that's what he did here. But on this occasion, the crowds kind of caught up with him, as they often always did, actually. They caught up with him and they gathered round and they start asking for more miracles. They say, we want to see more signs. We want to see more provision. We want to see more amazing things, Jesus. Would you do give us more signs of who you are? But on this occasion, Jesus says no. He says, there's been enough signs for now. I want you just to come to me, to believe in me. I am all you need. And we read this in John chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me. Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of heaven. Come to me, believe in me, and never go hungry again. Receive my goodness for today. Receive my goodness into eternity. That is what Jesus offers. That is what Jesus provides. That is the real miracle. Okay, other signs and miracles of healing and provision and abundance, they're all amazing, but the real miracle is Jesus himself, who's come to us and says, come to me, believe in me, and I will. You'll never go hungry again. And that sounds great to us, doesn't it? Sounds really good to us. But let's just have a look at how the crowd respond. Verse 41, it says this, at this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? In other words, they're saying, Jesus, we know your parents. We know where you are from. You know, you can't be that special. And they start to grumble and take offense at the teaching that Jesus brings. But Jesus continues. He says, I'm the living bread. If you keep reading on, I haven't got time to read it all, but he says, believe in me, feed on me, receive eternal life. He keeps giving that message. We read on in verse 60. It says, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? There was offense in there. What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. And then we read in verse 66, a verse that I've read a few times recently, it just jumps out of the page to me. It says this, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Let me read that again. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. So let's just pause and think about what we've heard. There's this mountaintop experience, the feeding of the 5,000, a wonderful sign. Soon afterwards, people are choosing to turn around and no longer follow Jesus, even though this incredible provision has just happened. And I want you particularly to notice, these are not just people. It doesn't just say from that time people turned back. It says disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Not just onlookers in the crowd, but people who had previously in some way made some kind of commitment to say, I want to learn from Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. I'm giving myself to Jesus. They were his disciples, and yet they turned back even after this mountaintop experience. Who knew that this could happen? Who knew that some of you that have been to New Day this summer, or been to Spain this summer, or had other mountaintop experiences, very soon afterwards could choose to turn away from Jesus and walk in a different direction? I don't want that for myself, and I don't want that for anyone else who's here listening today. At the start of this year, we made it our goal as a church. We stated what we wanted to do this year. And we said we want to love and follow Jesus in everyday life. That is what we're setting out to do. We want to love and follow Jesus every day, in everyday life, in every part of our lives, in the mountaintop experiences, in the valleys, when there's challenges, when there's hurts, when there's disappointments. And this has become fixed in my mind. It's become, for me, like a vision that I feel like I'm living by. In one hand, it's very, very simple. We want to love and follow Jesus. But when you begin to unpack it, you realize, actually, that's a very, very challenging thing to do and to keep doing. And when I introduced this earlier in January, we used John 15 as the basis for this. And we particularly talked about loving Jesus through being two things. Firstly, by being obedient. Jesus says, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. You see, obedience, we are called as his disciples to be obedient to the things that Jesus says. The things that Jesus says through his word, the things that Jesus says to us through his spirit. Loving Jesus looks like knowing his word. It looks like listening to his spirit, and it looks like obeying it. And also we said that loving Jesus is around being joyful. Jesus says, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. You see, when we come to know Jesus, when we live in obedient lives, when we're loving and following him, joy follows because he is the source of all joy. Loving Jesus involves gratitude and contentment and seeing things from his perspective. All of this brings true joy. How obedient have you been this year to Jesus? How joyful are you being in Jesus today? And have you been throughout this year? And we said we want to love Jesus and we want to follow Jesus. And we talked about two things at the start of the year that we wanted to emphasize in terms of following Jesus. And one of those was serving. We said we wanted to be sacrificial people. Jesus says this in John 15. He says, love each other as I have loved you. And he goes on to talk about that he laid down his life for his friends. Jesus was a servant leader. Jesus was living a life of sacrifice, putting others' needs before our own, both in the church and around us. How's that going? Is that the way that you are living your life? Are you being intentional in your serving of others in the way that you follow Jesus this year? And then finally, in terms of following Jesus, we talked about being spirit-filled, that we would keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Following Jesus, just as Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit and all of his ministry came out of being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, we are invited to receive the Holy Spirit in the same way. And we want to be filled with the Spirit repeatedly. We want to keep in step with the Spirit. Are you choosing to be filled regularly with the Holy Spirit? Are you keeping in step? Are you asking Jesus for more? And you know, what I've observed is that when it comes to loving and following Jesus, we need to keep stepping forward. We need to keep moving forward. We need to keep taking steps. It's an intentional daily choice to say, yes, I'm going to love Jesus. Yes, I'm going to follow Jesus. Yes, I'm going to be obedient and joyful and serving and spirit-filled. Jesus, I am choosing you. And if we're not being intentional about it, if we're not keeping it at the forefront of our mind, if we're not basing our decisions each day on that priority, then what happens is what we read in verse 66. That the other option is that many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed Jesus. You can't just put the gear stick into neutral and coast when it comes to following Jesus and loving Jesus. Either you are stepping forward and growing and moving with him into all that he has for you, or you are falling back. That's the only two choices. And there's different reasons why disciples turn back from Jesus and stop following him. In this example in John that I've read, what we see, a couple of reasons that we see is, firstly, they didn't see the miracle. They didn't see the miracle that they wanted. They said, give us more miracles, Jesus. And the miracles didn't come. And so they grumbled amongst themselves. They were filled with disappointment and they turned back. I wonder, have you been praying for something that hasn't come in the way that you wanted it to, and you feel like you're carrying some disappointment, and it's lingered on you, and the result is you've turned away, you've taken a step back from kind of intentionally following Jesus day by day. It also tells us here that they encountered some difficult teaching. Sometimes we get offended by the things we read in Scripture that Jesus says, this is how I want your life to be. And a lot of the things we read in Scripture are very now countercultural to what the world is telling us. And we can easily take offense at what Jesus is saying. And yet, Jesus wants us to take his word, which is true, not just for days gone by, but for today and for days to come as well. And he wants us to live by it and obey it. But sometimes we can read stuff and say, do you know, that's really hard. That is hard teaching. And so I'm not going to follow Jesus in that area. I'm going to turn around and I'm going to walk away from him. Sometimes temptation can come. If you read on in this story in verses 70 and 71, it refers to one of the 12 who would betray Jesus. And we know that speaks about Judas, who out of greed was the one that betrayed Jesus. He turned back at that point to walk away from Jesus. Sometimes the things of this world can seem attractive to us, and disciples, those that have committed to following Jesus, can decide to turn and to walk in a different direction. Sometimes it's around hurt. We as disciples, we get hurt, don't we? We as people get hurt, whether you're following Jesus right now or not. Some of you, this isn't about coming. Are you still following Jesus? It's about you just haven't started to follow Jesus. But sometimes the reason that stops us is hurt. We get wounded. We suffer pain. Sometimes disciples in churches even hurt one another through our words and through our actions. And sometimes perhaps it just seems easier to stop and to turn around and to just take a few steps away from intentionally loving and following Jesus day by day. Sometimes it's weariness. We've been serving, we've been giving away, we've been investing ourselves in the kingdom, and we're just tired. We're weary, we're a bit burnt out, and we feel a bit empty and disconnected. And so we take some steps back, or just the busyness causes us to take some steps back. I was reflecting on my journey so far this year. I was thinking, where are the points that I've been intentionally loving and following Jesus day by day, and where have I taken steps back? And what I realized was that for the first few months of this year, I was being very, very intentional. I was loving and following Jesus. I was praying the 40-day prayer that we'd written, and we said, right, we're going to pray this together for 40 days. My mind was focused. I was bringing my spirit into line with the Holy Spirit. I was taking regular steps of obedience, and I knew that I was being more joyful, and I was deliberately looking to see who can I serve. Aware of the Holy Spirit with me, a daily kind of rhythm of asking and relying on the Holy Spirit. And then I can reflect on a part of the year where just things got really busy. There was a time a few months after this where many of you will know that our good friend Ian passed away. It was at the same time when Chris had just gone off on sabbatical, so I was carrying a bit more responsibility at work. Ian passed away. There was the kind of the emotional hurt of that for myself and for our family. But also then I was meeting all these people that I'd never met before, that was really kind of complicated pastoral situations, and trying to pull them all together. And there was a real sense of kind of during that time, of course I was relying on Jesus, but my intentionality in terms of seeking and praying and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus, I'm following you today. I think I just got caught up in the busyness of it. And I was kind of almost, I think what was happening is I was running on what I'd built up over the first few months of the year. And you know, I'm a pastor. And sometimes people look at me and think, wow, he's got it all together. He's just running and following and loving Jesus every day. Every day he's filled with the Holy Spirit. Every day he's reading his Bible and praying and fasting. And he never eats. Never, not in the whole year. You know, that kind of thing. But it's not true. I'm just a normal person. We're just normal people. Those of us you see here at the front. And sometimes we get weary. Sometimes we take a bit of a step backwards. And so the knock-on effect on me was that my routines, I got out of the routine of praying that prayer that I'd found so helpful for the first few months of this year. I actually, at one point, I thought, I'm going to be able to pray this every day for the whole year. I kind of almost made it a little goal, and I kind of stepped back from that and hadn't prayed it for a little while. And my joy, I just realized I was more irritable, getting more irritable again than I should be, because Jesus has done so much for me that is good. I'm not saying I abandoned Jesus, but in that period, something changed and the weariness crept in. I wonder for you, How has the ebb and the flow been for you this year? When are the points where you've been intentional and saying, Jesus, I am loving and following you. I'm coming after you. And where are the points where you've taken a little bit of a step back? Was there some hurt or weariness or some temptation that crashed in and you gave into? Or maybe you came across some difficult teaching or you heard something that you found offensive or that's disappointment, or what might it be? And at the end of this passage, what we see in John 6, verse 67, Jesus, these disciples, some of these disciples, it says, have turned and walked away from Jesus, no longer following him. And Jesus comes to his closest disciples, the 12. And this is what he says. He says, you do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. And Simon Peter, who's often the vocal one, he's often the one that steps in. He steps into that space and he answers. He says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. And so he spoke for himself. He spoke on behalf of the group. He's saying, there's nowhere else, Jesus, to go. We don't want to turn away to anything else or anyone else. It is you that we are loving and following. And you know, that's a question that Jesus is asking each one of us today. You don't want to turn away, do you? You don't want to allow that hurt and that temptation to turn you away from me, do you? How are you going to respond? Are you going to respond like these disciples in verse 66, where you're going to turn away and no longer follow Jesus or take some steps back from following Jesus? Or are you going to be like Peter and say, who else is there to go to? Jesus, you are the one that brings eternal life. I am committing myself again to love you and to follow you in every day. Do you know, the great news is, this is a brilliant time of year to reset. It's a new term. It's a new academic year. There's a sense of freshness. I love the fact that we get two kind of moments in the year. Maybe this is just because I was a teacher, but it feels like there are two moments in the year where things are fresh and it's kind of a new year. You get January and then you also get September. So really, you know, you've got 6 months to go in between each one. And it's a great time of year to do this. So what does it look like? What does it look like if we need to reset today? What does it look like if we need to commit again to move forward? Well, firstly, what it looks like is repentance. It looks like identifying where we've taken steps back. We need to recognize the things that have caused us to step back. Just as I've sort of explained, one of the things for me that was that weariness caused me to take a bit of a step back. What are the things for you? Can you identify those things? And then can you be honest with Jesus about them and say, Jesus, I am sorry that I have stepped back because of this area, because of this thing that has happened. Jesus, I recognize that that happened in those months or those weeks. State it. Be honest with Jesus about it. And then change your thinking. I'm not going to allow that difficult teaching. I may not understand it, but Jesus, I'm not going to allow it to cause me to walk away. I'm going to keep walking after you. Jesus, I'm not going to allow that mistake that I made to mean that I'm going to step back because I'm full of shame and guilt. I'm going to believe that you've forgiven me. I'm going to believe that you died for me. And so I'm going to continue to walk forwards. And invite him. Part of repentance is changing your thinking and inviting Jesus to come and help you by his Holy Spirit. So I want to encourage us this morning to repent if we're in that place where we need a reset. Or maybe if you don't feel like you need a reset right now, maybe it's just for you, just marking the date again, marking the start of the new academic year and saying, yeah, I'm still here, Jesus. I'm still loving and following you. I'm still coming after you. So we repent, but also I want to encourage us to commit and to think of some action. Think of something we can do that is going to help us in loving and following Jesus in everyday life. Something you can do this week. It might be just making that decision. If it's been hurry for you, I know that one of the things that I need to do at the start of this academic year is find some time just to be still with Jesus. No distractions. You know, write a day off and just go with my Bible and my guitar and just be with Jesus and allow him to speak to me and refresh me. oppose the hurry. It might be that you're going to say, right, I'm going to start reading John's Gospel. We're doing a preaching series in John's Gospel, so I'm going to start reading it story by story and just see what Jesus wants to say to me. It might be that you want to regularly ask, day by day, ask for the Holy Spirit to come and help you. Holy Spirit, I need you. I'm thirsty. I'm dry. I'm nothing. I can do nothing apart from you, Jesus. Would you come and fill me, refresh me, make me fruitful? Maybe it's signing up for a small group and saying, one of the things that's going to help me is by getting around other people, getting amongst other people that are going to help me to love and follow Jesus so we can talk about Jesus together. If there's not a small group for you, then just find some other people that aren't in groups and start a group yourself. But let us know about it, of course. Maybe it's joining in with our prayer week. The prayer week, I love our prayer weeks. I love it where we put everything else down and we say, right, we are going to just spend some time praying and seeking Jesus this week. It's a reset. It's a reset moment. Use the prayer week as part of that. For some of you, maybe it's a step of obedience that you're choosing. I've had, I think it's 3, maybe 4 people in the last week that have come up to me and said they'd like to be baptized. Okay? So we're planning for another baptism. And sometimes a step of obedience is an action. A step of obedience is what we need. Or perhaps it's getting out again that 40-day prayer that we started the year with and reading it again and using it day by day by day and just praying it. What is it for you? I've said enough. I want to ask us to respond. I want to ask you, if you know that you are saying today, whether you're resetting, whether you're just marking it as a, I'm going to keep going in the way that I am, whether you're coming to Jesus for the first time and saying, I want to love and follow you, Jesus, I'm going to ask you just where you are to stand with me now. Stand with me now. I'm just going to leave a minute of silence. And this is a moment to repent. This is a moment if you know that you've been carrying hurt or disappointment or you've given in to temptation or for whatever reason you've taken a step back from Jesus and you want to repent of that, use this moment now just between you and God to identify it and to change the direction of your travel in this moment. Jesus, I thank you that you are the God who forgives. You are the God who helps us in our moment of need. That when we repent, when we turn back to you, you are there, ready to embrace us, ready to welcome us, ready to clean us up. Jesus, we thank you that you are for us. If you are for us, who can be against us? I pray right around this room now as people are repenting and coming back to you from different things, that they would know your warm welcome, Jesus. That they would know your help, your Holy Spirit's help, the helper who's been sent to help us to love and follow you, who keeps drawing us to you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Just come now, we pray. And we're actually going to, I thought it would be good for us as a church to pray this prayer that we started out the year with, to pray it again together. It's going to come up here on the screen. I'm going to lead us in this. I would love you to pray it out with me. And it's a prayer of commitment to love and follow Jesus in everyday life. And so, Lord Jesus, I come to you now and commit to love and follow you today and every day. I choose to believe in you, to trust you, to look to you, and to walk with you. Thank you for calling me your friend and for bringing me back into family with our Father in heaven.
Today, I choose to love you by being obedient. Please show me how you want me to live and give me the courage to obey you wholeheartedly. Today, I will love you by being joyful. Help me to lift my eyes above any circumstance and celebrate your goodness and grace with a grateful heart. Today, I commit to follow you by serving. I will seek to put others first and love people both within Open Door Church and those around me in my everyday life. Today, I eagerly desire to follow you by being spirit-filled. I recognize that apart from you, I can do nothing. Please fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit and make me more aware of your presence. Empower me to go as your witness and bring your kingdom around me today. I pray too for all those in our Open Door family. Help us as together we love and follow Jesus in everyday life. Would we bear much fruit and grow and as an obedient, joyful, serving, spirit-filled church. Amen. Amen. I'm not as organized as I was in January. I haven't got any of those printed for you to take away, but it's on our website. Maybe we can make it very visible on the homepage this week so that people can go and grab that if they want it. And maybe we'll have some hard copies for people if they want them next week as well. Thank you, Jesus.